Okay, Mataji, now it has been started. So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Amrita Madhavi Mataji to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Mataji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, Dandavat Pranams. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let me start with prayer to Guru Maharaj. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swamin Iti Namine Namaha Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayini Gaura Katha Damadaya Nagara Grama Tarini Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachati Dishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vidhadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Okay, today we are going to start with the fourth verse, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Verse 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yada chahindra shayayam sete ananta shanuhari tada lokalayam yanti tayete griha medhinam. Translation: all the planets of the materialistic persons, including all the heavenly planets, such as the moon, are vanquished when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, goes to his bed of serpents, which is known as Anantashesha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. The materially attached are very eager to promote themselves to the heavenly planets, such as the moon. There are many heavenly planets to which they aspire just to achieve more and more material happiness by getting a long duration of life and the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. But the attached persons do not know that even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, destructions exist there also. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that one can even go to the Brahmaloka, but still he will find the pangs of birth, death, disease and old age. Only by approaching the Lord's abode, the Vaikuntha Loka, does one not take birth again in this material world. The Griha Medhis, or materialistic persons, however, do not like to use this advantage. They would prefer to transmigrate perpetually from one body to another or from one planet to another. They do not want the eternal blissful life in knowledge in the kingdom of God. There are two kinds of dissolutions. One, dissolution takes place at the end of life of Brahma. At that time, all the planetary systems, including the heavenly systems, are dissolved in water and enter into the body of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, who lies on the Garbhodaka ocean on the bed of serpents called Shesha. In the other, dissolution, which occurs at the end of Brahma's day, all the lower planetary systems are destroyed. When Lord Brahma rises after his night, these lower planetary systems are again created. The statement in Bhagavad Gita that persons who worship the demigods have lost their intelligence is confirmed in this verse. These less intelligent persons do not know that even if they are promoted to the heavenly planets, at the time of dissolution, They themselves, the demigods and all their planets will be annihilated. They have no information that eternal blissful life can be attained. So this is what Prabhupada writes in his purport. Here, actually, here one topic ends. What is the first topic? That is the people who are Griha Medhis. They have no interest. They have no interest in spiritual life. They have no interest in the eternal life as eternal soul serving the Lord. No, they have no interest in that. They want to enjoy. Since they want to enjoy, they want longer duration. So they prefer even to go to the moon. They will do all possible yajnas or, you know, prayers to devatas, the demigods, so that they can enjoy longer. So their goal is enjoyment, and they don't have any idea that their enjoyment is going to be temporary only. So that is why those people, you know, even though they go to the moon, they will also be vanquished when Lord Hari goes to bed. So this is what. So when Brahma goes to bed also, it lower planetary systems are annihilated. When Brahma leaves his body also, not just lower, but even upper, that is the heavenly planets are also destroyed when Brahma leaves his body. So, if all heavenly planets are destroyed, that means even moon planet is destroyed. All the planets, all Devata's planets, everyone practically, they will all be vanquished if they are in the material world. And only those who have gone to Vaikuntha, they are not going to come back. So that is why Bhagavad Gita says, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna, in which verse? 8th chapter, 16th verse. Mam Upetya Tu Kaunteya Punarjanma Na Vidyate. Punarjanma Na Vidyate. What is Na Vidyate means? Does not take place. Punarjanma does not take place. But otherwise, for whom it takes place? So those, see, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, which means the moon planet also, Brahma Loka also, any Loka you take among the heavens, Indra Loka also, and you know, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Patala, whatever. You know, the seven lower planetary systems, they also, and the higher planetary systems, that is the heavenly planets, they also are all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. See, Krishna very clearly tells it in 8th chapter, 17th verse of Bhagavad Gita, that whoever goes to any planet other than Krishna's own planet, which is Krishna's own planet, yes, that is all the entire spiritual world, you know, lowest is Kailash, actually, that is the Shiva Bhaktas, you know, if they don't want to come back, and if they are, you know, wanting to go back and stay with Lord Shiva, and if they lead a very good life, in a way Krishna also will be pleased, Shiva will be pleased, and their whole goal is to reach Shiva, yes, then they will go to Kailash. They don't return. Even those who think God is light, you know, they think God is light, like I heard even in Islam they say Allahu Nuru, you know, they say God is light. So whoever, you know, worships God as light, you know, or Brahman, or they desire to become one with Brahman. You know, there are people who want to become one with God. They want to become God. But that will never happen. You know, second chapter very clearly tells it. That when it says that Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janadipaha na chaiva na bhavishyamaha sarve vayamata param. Which chapter? Second chapter, 12th verse. So that very clearly says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So even in the future, we will always be there, always. So we will not cease our existence. I will have my identity, yours, Krishna his, Arjuna his, all the kings will have their identity. So we will never lose our identity. Even if we spend entire life aiming to become one with God, and which verse proves that you can never become one? Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse number 12. Of course, there are many other verses that give that clue that you can never become one with God. They are, you know, the 23rd and 24th verses of 2nd chapter. And 7th chapter, 7th verse, 24th verse, 7th chapter, 7th verse and 24th verse. 10th chapter, 8th verse. Like that, you know, 12th chapter, 2nd to 7th verse. Like that, you have, you know, many places where Krishna very clearly makes us understand we are his part and parcel. And in the 2nd chapter, 12th verse, it is very clearly told, never will we cease our identity. We will always maintain. Then how can we think of becoming one with God? But still, people who think of becoming one with God also are far, far more greater than those Grahamedis. What is Grahamedis? They just want to enjoy. They have no idea about going back to God, or they don't want to have any idea of going back to God, because they think they want to enjoy the way they like. So they are the Grahamedis. So these Grahamedis also, you know, what they do not know. So compared to the Grahamedis, these people who want to become one with God, they are far more greater. No comparison. Grahamedis are quite materialistic, or, you know, too much materialistic. But these people who want to become one with God, they are spiritual. So they have to be respected. What to speak of them? You know, I was learning from His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, and in one of his class he was telling, there are, you know, 7 or 8 types of maryadas we have to give. You know, what is that respect? You know, to whom all we should give respect? He starts with Naramatra Maryada. Naramatra Maryada means, you know, just because someone has got a human body, they deserve our respect. Then some Vidya Maryada, then some, I don't remember the exact Sanskrit terms, but I remember the English translations, some of them. So one is, just because he's a human being, you have to give respect. And the second one is, second or third, you know, the second one is that if he has got some kind of position, you know, like say the chief minister of Karnataka, or the prime minister of a particular country, or health minister, or union minister, financial minister, or a school teacher, or a principal, or, you know, or a CEO of a company. They may be great materialists. They may be moral in their dealings or immoral. They may have good name or bad name. See, if we have to respect someone with human body itself, means there it's finished, you know. Everyone has to be respected. And on top of that, if you have a position, so who gave that position, you know? So they have done a lot of piety in past birth, that's why they've got that position, right? So at least because they've got that position, at least because that they have done something, you know, very much bigger, you know, materially, so they deserve that respect. And those who have done Vidya Maryada, sometimes there are some Sanskrit scholars, you know, they may have no idea about real bhakti, you know, they may be thinking I am God or something like that, you know, but still, because they are having the vidvat, you know, they are having their talent. So for their vidya, we have to give them maryada. And suppose if they have got the ashrama, you know, according to ashrama means if they are just wearing saffron and they occupy a sannyasi's post, and, you know, people may be talking that he's saffron, you know, clothed only in cloth only, but internally he is worse than a materialist. Even if people say like that, then also, just because he has got the post of a sannyasi, we are supposed to respect. Like that, you know, there are different categories, some 7 to 8 categories of people, you know, and reasons why we should respect. So if we understand that, then there is no question of disrespecting someone who wants to become God, though we know that it is never possible. According to Bhagavad Gita, according to Shastras, it is impossible. But when they try for that, you know, Bhagavad Gita says, whatever you think at the time of death, that you will attain. So they want to become God. Then where do they go? They go to the Brahman, you know, where they also become a small speck like dust, you know, in a beam of light, how the speck of dust is seen. Like that, they will have their individuality and they will be in Brahman. So just above the material world is this Brahman. So there, like a speck of dust, they will be maintaining their individual identity and in full peace. They're completely peaceful. But the thing is, how long can a person survive there, you know, without association of anyone? They cannot communicate with anyone. They cannot communicate with God. You know, they cannot see God there individually by themselves, you know, in a complete peace. Suppose if they feel, you know, after lakhs of yugas pass, if they feel, you know, it was nice to hear Krishna Katha, one thought, you know, when I was in Bhumi, I heard some Krishna Katha, it was nice. Even if one thought of such a desire comes, they will take birth. I have heard this from many, many leaders of ISKCON. So I'm just repeating that. I won't be able to give a quote on that. Even this one thought, if it comes, they come down to this material world in a Vaishnava house where they will practice one full lifetime of devotional service and they go back to God as a servant of God. In one life, their life will be successful. So that is why, you know, they are very much to be respected compared to Grahamedis. They are far better. And the others who think so, Shiva only is supreme and they worship. Okay, they go to Kailash. If they don't do anything, you know, any activity with the intention of fruitive results, with the intention of enjoying the fruits of their activities, if they are just doing it for the pleasure of Shiva, assuming Shiva to be supreme, if generally there is a possibility that, you know, most of the time the devatas and Lord Shiva, they guide them, you know, through the devotees to go to Krishna actually. Even in Kailash and even in Vaikuntha, Lord Shiva goes on doing Harinam Sankirtan, recommending the people in Vaikuntha and also Kailash to go to Krishna's abode, that is Golok, Golok Vrindavan. So now, after the Kailash, so below are the material planets. In the material world, we have seven types of hellish planets, seven types of heavenly planets. Among the seven types of heaven, the last one is our earth. We are also in some kind of, you know, one of the heavenly planets only. So after these heavenly planets, you know, after this entire, you know, you will in the entire globe, you know, it's like a golden egg which comes from Lord Vishnu's hair. And you have such many, many golden eggs which has, you know, in every planet, the same structure is there. Seven above, seven below, and that's it, you know. So this all material worlds are filled with so many golden eggs which has seven higher planetary systems, seven lower planetary. And in each of them, there is a Brahma, there's a Vishnu, there's a Shiva, so there's Maya Devi to, you know, like a fort, you know, fortress or whatever, you know, to take care, to punish, you know, the souls, attract them and then punish them, attract them, punish them, so that they get fed up. And finally they say, I don't want to enjoy enough of this Grahamedi life. I want to go back to God. Till they get fed up, she's doing her duty. And when this person will fall at the feet of Guru and Krishna or Guru and Vishnu, whoever, you know, and completely surrenders, then the Lord does not let Maya Devi to trouble his devotees. So till then, the soul as a Grahamedi suffers. But he is thinking, he is enjoying. And he thinks that maybe if I do more yajna, then I'll get more money. Maybe if I will buy a car, I will be more happy. If I had a more beautiful wife, maybe then I would be more happy. You know, so unfortunately, you know, it is a tragedy that they don't realize that they tried to be happy and they could not. At every step they tried and they failed. And it's a big tragedy that they're not even understanding that their every trial is becoming a failure only. They're suffering only. They don't understand. So they plan for coming back again. And, you know, these purports actually used to make me feel when I read, will anyone want to come back? I used to feel like that. But no, my dear devotees, I have personally heard with my ears where I had preached to one of the person, a very big person, you know, I forgot his post, very big. So that person of the school, entire school, he was a registrar, yes, he was a registrar of Dubai school, I don't want to name where I was working. I had preached to him, I had told him to chant, you know, for he used to love hearing about Krishna. But when I requested him, I was just an employee, I was a teacher, and he was very respectful, very humble, very nice. But he is no more now. So, you know, at a young age, he passed away, maybe in 50, 52, he passed away, you know. So, when I was telling him anything about God, he would listen. But when I said, you chant, will you chant? Will you chant from today, just 108 times? I was a little over-enthusiastic and I was to try to tell every single person whom I meet to chant, you know, if they're Hindus. If they're Muslims in that country, when I was working, I used to, even to the cab drivers, I used to tell them, why do you hear to these songs, you know, the movie songs? Why don't you chant the name of Allah? Why don't you tune into the, you know, channel which talks, which sings Allah's glories? And they used to like it when I say. But you know, people, some of the good people, they just like it, but they don't want to follow it. So this person had clearly told, very affectionately he told, that see, I don't want to go back to God. I want to come back again. I said, come back again? Why? He said, to see other part of the world. Very coolly he said. So, you know, I was thinking maybe he's just teasing or joking. But no, when I read Prabhupada's purport, it very clearly says there are people who want to again come back. See, why will a person want to come back to hell? Only if he thinks that hell only is heaven, you know. So this is the heights of ignorance we are suffering from, thanks to Maya Devi. She's doing her job fantastically, that she convinces this hellish place also. Why do I call this one of the heavens? Actually, Bhumi is one of the seven, you know, heavenly planets. Why do we call this as hell? Is because padam padam yat vipadam, at every step there is danger, at every place there is suffering. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when man plans for happiness, misery begins. So you know, whenever we plan for happiness, it ends miserably. Then also, if we don't understand this place is unfit to live, only then we will think of coming back. Then we just have to understand this is real ignorance. So, because people are ignorant, we have to intensify our sadhana. Because if we change ourselves completely 100% the way our guru wants, the way Krishna wants, definitely the world is going to change. And if all of us in this call, if we will put our efforts to change, then I'm sure, you know, it's not one person. If we all pick, can become the moons, then, you know, the whole world will definitely become far more brighter place, losing its ignorance in a big way. What are we supposed to do for that? First of all, we have to, you know, start preaching. So now, before I get back to this preaching topic, let me just complete the topic here. What Prabhupada is saying, what this shloka expects is that the, finally the moon planet also is going to get annihilated. The moon planet, when? At two points. One is when Brahma goes to sleep. At every 12 hours, day finishes. The 12 hour sleeping time for Brahma, just like how we have our day and night. So at that time, the lower planets will be destroyed. But when Brahma only finishes his 100 years, then when he leaves, then, you know, the entire Brahmaloka also, all heavenly planets, all below planets will all be perished. So now who is the lucky one is the one who is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is you and I and all of us. And whoever chants a little, you know, if we will attain perfection, we will go back to that place. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Just as Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 16th verse read, that who returns to Krishna's abode will never return here. You know, So that point, you know, it has to go deep in the hearts of others also. People in ISKCON, you know, are very fortunate, very, very fortunate, because they are all chanting and they all know that we have to go back to Godhead. And most of them, you know, if whoever is chanting 16 rounds takes initiation, they will preach to someone else, you know, because we have seen what happiness is, which a Grahamedhi is not able to understand. Who is a Grahastha? The one who knows the goal of going back to Godhead. Who is a Grahamedhi? Who does not know the real goal of life. He also knows his goal. His goal is to enjoy here. Not by leaving this place. Why they don't want to leave? Because they don't know. So now here are, you know, seven heavens and seven hells. And above that is Brahma Jyoti. And above that is Kailash. Above that are the Vaikuntha planets. And above that is Golok Vrindavan. So those who chant Hare Krishna mantra, they go to Golok Vrindavan. So where we can be one of the servants of the gopis and serve Krishna. You know, or one of the servants of the gopas and serve Krishna directly. So this is the, you know, benefit we get. And this is the best benefit. Whoever is sufficiently tired, one of the senior devotees was telling, you know, who chants Hare Krishna mantra, who will want to chant in this world, is only that person who has been beaten up severely by Maya. You know, whoever is really tired of this material world, who is disgusted with this material world, he never wants to come back here. He turns towards Krishna. Artho artati jnyasu jnani. You know, so. You know, there are four categories of people who turn to Krishna. So, those who are sufficiently frustrated, they will want to go back. You know, they will not mind chanting. And once they start chanting, over a period of time, based on the way they chant, based on their sincerity, they will start experiencing such great spiritual satisfaction that even if someone says, I will give you $1 billion, if you quit chanting for lifetime, even the poorest, financially poorest of the poor devotee who has experienced the joy of chanting 16 rounds will never want to give up chanting. You know, he will never exchange holy name for money. So this is the, you know, best part of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is the best part of being under the shelter of a guru. Once you get the shelter of a guru and take diksha from him, then the spiritual life just begins. Then it begins. And then only there is a possibility that we will end also in this life, provided we do our sadhana very nicely. That's why, you know, atyahara prayasascha prajalponiyamagraha, in nectar of instructions, there is a verse which says we have to give six types of mistakes, and in that one is prayasa. What is prayasa? Over-enduring. What is over-enduring? Doing everything in a big way with whole heart. You know, you give all your time to one particular activity or many activities in such a way that at the end when you are dead tired, you don't even have energy to chant. And you end up chanting bad rounds, or you end up chanting no rounds for the day. That is prayasa. So that prayasa we should give up doing. You know, even we, those who are chanting, we may do that at times. So we have to take it as a fall down, and we have to pray to Krishna so that next day we will not repeat that mistake, and we have to try our best to not go to that state any time in life, but still such things keep happening because we are not used to this kind of quality sadhana in our last life. If we had done it, we would never have taken birth now. So the very fact we have taken birth now is either because we are Nitya Baddhas or we are Nitya Siddhas. Nitya Siddhas are like Prabhupada, are like the saintly gurus who are Prabhupada disciples, who are here only to uplift the fallen Nitya Baddhas. Who is a Nitya Baddha who is really endeavoring now by the mercy of a guru? Now he can also get relieved from here. So we have somehow come under the mercy of Guru. Somehow we have got, by someone's causeless mercy, we have got the holy name. Now we cannot afford to lose it, because it is the most precious thing which will relieve us completely from all the miseries that we are suffering in this material world. So this way, if we take this opportunity and really use it sincerely by doing our sadhana, then there will be no prayasa. So that way we can go back to Krishna's abode, which is called Golok. But I will not go more in details. Brahma Samhita classes will give you more details on that. And now we want to talk a little bit about how to go back to God, you know, and not to moon planet. Because going to moon planet, we have learned from this, is a waste of time. So now what we have to do is, how we can really go back is, one is by, you know, doing our sadhana nicely. And the second one is, there's a shortcut, you know. Even if you didn't do your sadhana, then there is one more thing. Bhagavad Gita says that if you will preach the secret message of Bhagavad Gita to the qualified devotees, then qualified means whoever is not envious of Krishna, whoever is not purely materialistic, whoever is interested in spirituality. Now, though they may be ignorant, but they are interested to hear, not offensive. To such people, if we will share Bhagavad Gita, just by regularly sharing, he doesn't even say regularly sharing, whoever explains this supreme secret, there is no servant more dearer to me than he. You know, he says that in 2-3 verses, 69th verse, 70th verse, 68th verse, if we read in 18th chapter, we get to know these points. So if we can preach, also we can go back to God. But, you know, I had asked someone, you know, I think it was Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj or someone like that. I had asked, why do we say, you know, that if we just know Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoved Tatvataha, you know, all those things, that if you just know the activities, you know, and birth of Krishna, then we go back to God. And if we simply preach, we go back to God. So then everybody in India has watched Krishna serial. They all know about his Janma, Karma, everything. So then they said, it's not, no means, it's like a story, knowing is different, but understanding it with a realization, you know, understanding Janma, Karma means what? Karma and all activities. No, all activities means what? In that the entire Bhagavad Gita comes. Bhagavad Gita is also his activity, right? So to understand Bhagavad Gita, you have to understand Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, Karma, Prakriti, everything. You have to really understand it, not theoretically, but the realizing, you know, the knowledge. So when you understand in that way, then you have understood Krishna. If Krishna means, it's not just his some pastimes, right? Krishna means, Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is also Krishna, you know. So understand what he spoke very nicely. So that way, you know. So then I understood, oh my God. Then I said, but how is that, you know, if we just, it's told on a Purnima, if you will gift Bhagavatam, then you will go back to God. Just by doing that and any activity, no. When you do such activities where they assure that, you know, you will go back to God, the answer is, we will be put in a situation where we will attain perfection very soon in this life, and then we will go back. Okay. So the perfection attaining, even Ajamila, who uttered, you know, Narayana at his deathbed after committing all sinful activities, just because he uttered Narayana, he didn't go immediately. Yes. The Vishnudutas came, they didn't let Yamadutas take. But they also didn't take. They changed the Yamadutas and they allowed Ajamila to stay in coma for a very long time. And throughout his coma, this is an answer for one of the questions which was asked in one of the Monday classes to me only. I didn't remember this example at that time. So in his coma, he was actually, you know, remembering how Yamadutas came to take him, but Vishnudutas didn't allow, just because of one holy name, Narayana. That was also, he thought of his son and called. He didn't even think of Narayana. So that gave him such a good effect on his conscience that he started thinking, my God, what a blunder I come. my time I wasted in sense gratification, you know, was then a Grahamedhi actually, you know. Grahamedhi, they just want to enjoy, but this was like, you know, sinfully enjoying. So, you know, he was regretting for whatever he did and he was only focusing on Harinam. And so with that intense focus in his coma state, in the subconscious, when he was fully focusing, you know, all his purification in his coma state happened, and then when he's purified, then Vishnudutas came and took him back. So that is the, you know, the real end of Ajamila. So same way, we also have to attain that perfection, then we will go back to God. So now, if we have to attain that perfection, you know, sufficiently we will be, you know, we will be trained, we will be slapped, you know, personally by the Lord, by Guru, by Maya, everyone, and we will learn our lessons if we don't learn in a nice way. When we, just like a child will stumble and keep falling, but still when it continuously endeavors, it will learn to walk. Like that in our sadhana also, every devotee undergoes stumbling, falling, and then they will get up and walk also. So we don't have to look down upon anyone who is a devotee, but at the same time we should not look down upon even Grahamedhis. Why? Just as we discussed, Naramatra Maryada. You know, just because they got a human body, that means, you know, they have reached some qualification to go back to God. That's only they got. So let us respect everyone. How to respect everyone? Let us not look at their offenses. Let us not look at their mistakes. The more we look, no, the more we will end up becoming, you know, little bit puffed up. And also, we will develop that fault-finding tendency. So we will not look at their mistakes, because we have enough of mistakes in our own life, in our own mind to correct. So let us focus on our, you know, corrections. And even about our mistakes, let us not focus too much. Let us be aware that I have a tendency to do this mistake. So let me engage myself in a positive direction more and more, and be prayerful to the lotus feet of Krishna, to the lotus feet of Harinam, and request them to help me to get rid of my weaknesses. Let us not focus on our mistake also, what to speak of others' mistakes. So this way, if we can somehow mentally transform ourselves by engaging in positive devotional activities, or just by engaging in our routine activities with the intention of becoming devotional. Like, you know, from 3-4 days ago, we had posted a message saying that let us relocate, you know, let us, everyone likes to move into a big and nice house. So, you know, it needs a lot of money, a bigger job. And Grahamedhis are only targeting that only. But let us devotees, you know, relocate in our heart. Let us change an abode of the heart. Let us, you know, allow the mind to become the home of our Lord. So far, our mind and heart was just the abode of all material desires and hankerings. Enough. Let us be tired of this as Bhajagovindam Prabhu. You know, His Grace Bhajagovindam Prabhu had told in the last class, just like using our intelligence, let us become tired, you know. Just like a horse that runs. If you want to tame, sit on the horse and it runs so far, and at the end it is so tired, and it then gets under the control of the master. So like that, let's watch ourselves, you know. Like, what am I doing? Am I really happy here? Am I not getting so many problems? Am I not suffering? Let us ask, you know, let us count how many times we have suffered. Let us count how many times we are upset. So that, to conclude, to tell ourselves, this place is no good for living. This is the place where we have to quit. But we can't even quit, because we have this body and it's not, you know, it is kept the soul with itself. So now what? Now, right now we can quit. In our heart, by transforming the heart, by transforming the mind, by allowing Lord Krishna to come in our heart. Hare, He will come if there is space, na? So what is the space? The space, let us not give it for the hankering. Let's understand these hankerings are useless hankerings. They only are the seed for sufferings. Hankerings is alternative name for sufferings. So now let's understand that from all our past experiences in this lifetime only. And then let us say, now how can I make space for you, Krishna, in my heart, in my mind? Okay, I have to give up, you know, this activities which take me away from your remembrance. So give it up, you know, gradually. If you cannot give up in one shot, gradually reduce, you know. So we tried cutting down on internet, you know. We just come, peep, and if someone is, you know, asking something, or we wanted to know about Hare Krishna movie, when is the show, what time, who gives ticket. So we had to keep coming, but coming not for chatting. Coming not for, you know, looking for some interesting messages. Coming just to get our work done. WhatsApp for doing our work. That's it. You know, just like we go to toilet to finish our work. We're not attached to sitting in the toilet. You know, once we finish, we are so detached, we just come out. You know, like that. Let us go to WhatsApp just to do our activity and get out. But then, what about the heart space? You know, it was not created for my Lord. Why? Because I was getting up late as you know, 6:30, you know, 7, and then I will just, you know, quickly take a shower, and then I will start cooking, and my cooking will never end, because those days when I get up at 4 o'clock, and if I at least I start cooking by 5:36, it would end by 7:30, 2 hours. But you know, if we start at 8 o'clock, then it goes little lethargically, it goes on till 12:30, and then I have a nice feast. And then I sleep and take rest, and then get up and say, now my japa is not over. Then I sit and start chanting, and after japa, then I speak a little to my daughter. My husband will come. I will serve him lunch, dinner, and then maybe 2 pages of Srimad Bhagavatam reading, because as a formality, because I have not touched, or sometimes that also won't happen. Then I sleep. I was so frustrated. I'm not getting into WhatsApp. I'm not getting into internet. Why am I not getting time? Then I realized, because the kitchen is not inspiring me. So why? Because, you know, when my daughter was going to college, then there was so much of hurry. In a hurry burry, 7:30 I finished cooking. And at that time, the things that come, the new packets of dal, whatever, sometimes they're in packets only, no time to transfer. Once I leave the kitchen, I don't enter, I sit and chant, I read Bhagavatam. So when I finish cooking fast, I would read more, I would chant nicely. But when I don't get up in time, when my cooking only takes a lot of time, then nothing happens. So it's not enough if I give up internet. I have to also have discipline, you know. So without discipline, I cannot become disciple, you know, good disciple. So then, you know, I thought, okay, first thing, kitchen has to inspire me to cook actively, quickly. Everything should be in place. So just 2 hours I had to spend, everything went back to its place, because I keep doing this renovation, you know, once in 3-4 months, again and again, because I'm not a disciplined person. I am struggling with discipline topic in this whole life. So probably I have come back to learn discipline in this life, you know. So then what I did, once the kitchen is ready, then today everything went fast. I had all the time to prepare for today's Bhagavatam class. Wow, that is nice. So from tomorrow onwards, you know, that will be my Bhagavatam learning for writing exams. I will do my chanting better. So like this, you know, things will improve. So one thing is, if we have to preach to others, one is direct preaching, another one is we preach by our discipline, you know. If we show ourselves as most disciplined, a person who keeps things in place, intact, everything so perfect, then, you know, our own spouse, family members, our friends who come suddenly to visit us, you know, everybody will respect us for the discipline we have. And when everything is in place and there is discipline, and then we will feel ourselves self-inspired, you know, we become motivated to learn and, you know, and apply Srimad Bhagavatam in our life better. And we are more inspired to sit down and chant nicely. Now, when it comes to chanting, one thing that I would like to share with you, which I learned when there was a japa workshop in 2004 or 2005, something like that. My Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayaprakash Maharaj, had come to Sharjah. And that time when he came there, we had in one of the devotees' houses, Japa workshop, and my Guru Maharaj was fit and fine physically at that time. He is fit and fine only. It's our material eyes which says that he has some problem with the body. It's our materialistic attitude which sees like that. But they are all, you know, Nitya Siddhas. So when he had come, he came to each one, you know, whether it's a Prabhu or Mataji. To Mataji, of course, as you all know, in a roll of newspaper, they make and they hear, you know, one end of the paper roll is at his ear and one end at my mouth. And we have to I had to chant, you know, I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like this I was chanting. And you know what my Guru Maharaj told? My Guru Maharaj told, your Hare Hare is not proper. He marked for everybody on a paper, he marked, you know, my HK, you know, was put cross. And then he said, you know, that means Hare Hare should be clearly pronounced. Hare Hare, Hare Hare. So then that was the first correction. So I was thinking I am doing very fast japa, very good japa, you know, I was thinking like that. But when my Guru Maharaj said, then I became alert. He said, means he said in general, not to me alone, to everyone, you know, whoever didn't pronounce Ram properly or Krishna properly or Hare properly, there was a cross, you know. And then he said, you must pronounce Hare Hare distinctly. It should not be Hare Hare, Hare Hare. You know, when you do it, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, no, not like that. Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Let us put an effort. Doesn't matter. See, now why I'm telling this? Because we have to focus on sadhana. The more we focus on sadhana and improve it, the more as a person Krishna will arrange for our purification, Guru will arrange for our purification, then only we can go back to God. This was the first shock that I got, that I was not chanting properly, though according to my ears it was proper. Now I know it was so much improper. Then when we went to Mayapur, there, I think it's Chakra Building 104, I forgot that Prabhu's name. His wife is Western bodied, he's South Indian bodied. So very nice devotee, he took us on the yatra, you know, Mayapur, you know, the small places which are around, the nice important holy places. So at that time, probably he heard me chanting, because in Dham, I keep generally, you know, try to chant non-stop actually when I go there to get the most out of it. And probably he heard me chant. He didn't tell it to me, but he told it to the group. He said, whenever we chant, we should know it's a 32-syllable mantra. You know, Padma Purana quote is there. What it says, you know, it's a 32-syllable mantra. Even Prabhupada actually, you know, this I'll read out to you. Time is running. As Srila Prabhupada's secretary, and more than once in any case, I sat before Srila Prabhupada chanting my japa. Sometimes we hear people and myself saying Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada would stop me more than once, say to me, chant the entire mantra, and he would proceed to do so. It is Rama, as told by Pushta Krishna Das, ACBSP, Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, this is, you know, we should try our best to chant Rama, Rama, rather than Ram, Ram, because in Padma Purana, there is a verse which says, Dvatrimshad Aksharam, I am not good at pronouncing this, Dvatrimshad Aksharam Mantram, Nama Shoda Shak, Nama Shodasha Kanvitam Prajapari Prajapari Vaishnavo Nityam Radha Krishna Sthalam Labhet, means those Vaishnavas who always chant the Maha Mantra composed of 16 names divided into 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Attain Sri Vrindavan, the abode of Radha Krishna. See, that is why. So now I no more chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No, not like that. Now we have learned to chant like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Rama, 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 you know, it comes like that. And really, it's nice to chant like that. See, then only, as Prabhupada says, it will be complete. Otherwise, Ram means it's going to be not Rama. Two letters are not there. Two syllables are Ram will become one. You know, so it won't become 32. It will be much lesser. You know, as many Rams, that many numbers lesser it's going to become. So it's not going to be perfect. According to Prabhupada, it's not entire mantra. So better, you know, many people chant Ram Ram. Let us never go to correct them individually. Let us never correct them. But let us chant in this way so that, you know, we do not know. Sometimes people may not take it nicely. So as I told you, it's always better we respect others when they chant. And let us chant properly. And if we have a good relationship with them, we can explain to them that actually 32 syllables will be complete when we chant Rama. Let us not tell them you are not chanting properly, you know. So no, Krishna will guide them, you know. So we can just tell them like this, that, you know, according to Padma Puran 32, that is why you see in any of the ISKCON temple, we see R-A-M-A written, nowhere R-A-M is written, na? Everywhere they write R-A-M-A. You know, Rama, it has to be Rama only. And I heard even Prabhupada told, sometimes when people chant Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, don't say Ramo, that's different. Say Rama, you know. So Prabhupada was so particular that Rama should not even be pronounced as Ramo. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo. No, not Ramo, Rama, Hare Rama, you know. So let us be very clear, you know. So if we can chant with the mood of serving the holy name by being very clear, you know, at the end, to for me also to say Hare Hare, Hare Hare, it's little extra energy. It cuts down the speed. But no, our focus is not the speed. Our focus is going back to God. So to go back to God, the more time we spend chanting, the more time we spend doing any activity remembering Krishna, it is good only. So there is no hurry to finish unless we have not finished japa and we are very drowsy, we want to sleep, it's already crossed 10 p.m. Then we are chanting, then okay. You know, when you cannot really maintain quality, okay, do quantity. But let doing quantity not be regular, then it becomes prayasa. So if we can focus on better japa, you know, people who are very sincere, you know, once they catch this, they will learn and they will become perfect in chanting, you know, chanting 32 syllable mantra. So then only what happens, if those Vaishnavas who always chant Maha Mantra composed of 16 names divided into 32 syllables, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, attain Sri Vrindavan, the abode of Sri Radha Krishna. So when we chant this 32 syllable Maha Mantra, then we can really attain perfection and go back. What about those who chant, I mean, not so perfectly? That's not our business. Krishna will guide them somehow or the other. If we can help them, let us help them. But whenever we give somebody a suggestion, let us do so in a way that they are not hurt. They are not hurt means because we all of us have our false ego till we get Krishna Prema. Therefore, when somebody finds fault with us, when we are doing with utmost perfection according to our knowledge, we may get offended. So, you know, just as we like it when people respect us, let us give all the respect to the devotees, especially who are chanting. So if at all we have to give a correction, let us do so very, very carefully. So that is all for today's class. I'm sorry I've taken all the time, but if you have time, I have all the time to answer your questions. Thank you so much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. If anyone has questions, you can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat.
Pranam. Please. It's Very nice to hear 32 syllables of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thank you for explaining.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for inspiring always. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada.
And all glories to Guru Maharaj and yourself as well.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much for a very wonderful lecture. I just have one question regarding the
yes.
story of Ajamil from Bhagavatam.
Huh.
You said he went into coma for a long time.
That's what I heard from ISKCON.
Right, because I was looking in the Bhagavatam, I did not get this reference. I also heard somewhere else that he, as you said rightly, he did not go to Vaikuntha straight away. He had to actually
yes.
take another birth and then perfect his life and go. So Vishnu
yeah.
came just to prevent the Yamdudas from taking him to hell, hellish
yes.
planet, but he had to still perfect his life. So people
yes.
think that...
Not another birth, but in coma. This is what I heard from some very senior sannyasi, disciple of Prabhupada, but I have not reached probably that point, or probably Prabhu, we have this one book. If you can get it, you please buy. Srimad Bhagavatam Sararta Darshini Commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura. You get it? Sararta
yes.
Darshini Commentary by Srila Vishwanath
yes.
Chakravarti Thakura. You take the entire, buy that entire series. It's a probably translation done by His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj or someone like that. So that book,
yes.
no, it gives more detailed explanation. Means the secret hidden parts, what are not directly revealed, are all revealed. Probably they must have read from that and then given an explanation, Prabhu. That's why I also went and recently purchased that book, so that I can get to know direct meanings, you know, hidden meanings of Bhagavatam verses.
Right.
You
yeah.
seem to be very interested. So you deserve that book. Please buy that set. It's a set of some 12 books or something. I don't remember the exact number. But go ahead and buy it and start reading, you know, again, the Srimad Bhagavatam verses, hidden meanings.
Right, right. So, you know, it's important for me because we don't complete the story when we tell the story that what happened after Vishnu Yudhas came.
Yes.
Because, you know, then everybody thinks that, okay, he went straight to Vaikuntha, but that's not
yes.
how it is. So thank
yes.
you very much for bringing that up.
You're
and also,
Mother,
you have very nicely explained the, you know, chanting of the holy names, the japa. And my question
uh-huh.
is, have you come across, I've seen many senior devotees, you know, Prabhupada, disciples, especially
uh-huh.
New Vrindavan, when they chant
uh-huh.
exactly as you said, they pronounce each
uh-huh.
and every syllables very clearly, but they also chant not at a very high speed. You know, the speed of chanting is just
yes.
like how Prabhupada chanted. So that is also,
yeah.
You know, some people chant like, you know, they're under pressure, you know, they want to finish at certain
yes.
time. But it has to
yes.
be at a certain speed also. So.
Yes, I agree with you, Prabhu, because I also have, I chant fast because I'm under pressure only. So I also don't like that fast chanting. So one day I tried chanting slowly also and I was happier, Prabhu. You are very much right. I am on the way of improving to that stage also, because I'll tell you why. Because when we chant slowly, na, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, it is so blissful because we can focus on every name. When we hurry up, like how I usually do, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I cannot focus on any name properly, Prabhu. I cannot focus. That is why I do that only if I have so many big list of work after that. That is why I am reorganizing myself so that I can do japa with proper 2-hour time duration. So that I can focus on every name. So it's a very, very valid point. You have contributed 100% to today's class by just your one statement, that japa has to be done clearly and slowly. Thank you very, very much. It is a big instruction for me and for everyone else here.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Sanil from Austin. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Accept my humble obeisances too.
So, Mataji, when we talk to materialistic people, how do we convince people that there are living beings in higher planets like moon planet, things like that?
For that, Prabhu, there is one standard example. Like, you know, now this medical science, you know, science has discovered that even in boiling temperature, there are germs which don't die. They have special body which does not let them to die even in boiling point. This is what medical science has discovered, you know, today's science. So you can tell them, you know, that is like how we have, and the standard example is about the sea. In the sea, we cannot live, you know, without oxygen mask and all that. We cannot make it, but fishes live, no? So fishes have a unique body meant for living in the sea only, and we have a unique body to live outside the sea only. Like that, everywhere, if you see, even on our skin, if you keep it under the microscope, you see so many microorganisms. So to say that everywhere the organisms exist, which means just like in boiling temperature, how microorganisms exist, like that, even in Suryadev's planet, there are organisms or living entities which live in a different type of body. That's it. So they do exist. If you understand this part of material world, if you understand how fishes live in the ocean, how we don't live in the ocean, we live in the land, like that, there are living entities everywhere. Maybe they don't need oxygen, they may get some other gem with which they are living. So there are living entities everywhere. And for that, another point that we say is, because Bhagavad Gita says, you know, in all the places living entities exist. I don't remember that verse exactly. In all the places living entities exist. So Bhagavad Gita cannot be wrong. We say them that. Why Bhagavad Gita cannot be wrong? Because scriptures, it's scriptures. Scriptures are never wrong. Scriptures means Vedas. Vedas are never wrong. Why they're never wrong? Because you see, it says that the stool, if you touch, you have to take bath. And it is proved that all the stool of all the animals have organisms, you know, which are contaminating. But the same Vedas, you know, that is Srimad Bhagavatam or whatever, wherever, Vedas says that cow dung, the stool of the cow is very purifying, you know. So if you touch it, you, and when scientists have tested, Prabhupada said this, when scientists tested it in 1960s or something, I don't remember which year, then they have identified there are so many medical things like, you know, antiseptic, anti-whatever, you know, everything purifying, you know, cleaning type of properties are there in cow dung. So by touching that, we get purified, you know, purified in the sense as far as antiseptic properties are concerned. We get cleansed, I must say. In a material language, cleansed we get. So, you know, and also even Gangajal, they say, is purifying. And recently science has found out that it has got so much of purity in it that how much ever contaminations add to it, it has a property. Gangajal alone has a property to self-purify itself. In spite of throwing so many decayed bodies, in spite of Mother Ganga, you know, apparently getting impure, she on her own becomes pure according to today's science. So to the materialists, they understand science very well. So we have to give these examples from scriptures and then tell them that these scriptures, whatever it says, everything is proved true, because they predicted that Kautilya is going to come as an intelligent Brahmana. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, first chapter, it is very clearly written that Ashoka Vardhana is going to come, Nanda dynasty is going to rule. All this has come 5,000 years ago, And Bhagavatam, whatever it forecasted about Kali Yuga, that a Brahmana is going to be Brahmana by wearing janiv only, the threat only, in name only. And that we are seeing today, that what was written hundreds of years ago, if they don't believe it's 5000 years, at least they know that even their grandfather was talking about Bhagavatam. Grandfather's grandfather was talking. So at least hundreds of years ago, if they believe Bhagavatam, you know, it's very clear. It was not written now. So, and that said that over a period of time in Kali Yuga, that they are going to be, you know, Brahmana in name only, and that every materialist will agree that they, because they like to look down upon everyone. When you say Brahmanas are name only Brahmanas, if they're just born, and cleanliness means just to take bath only. Cleanliness means, you know, Kali Yuga people don't know the cleanliness of mind, cleanliness of speech. Cleanliness, you know, internally by doing sadhana, you know, purifying oneself, and externally maintaining cleanliness. All these things people don't understand. Cleanliness means, even a child will say, what do you mean by clean? Clean means taking bath, brushing your teeth, all these things, you know, wearing clean clothes. But nobody thinks of keeping a clean heart. So these things are written in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, and they've all come as truth. Then this also must be the truth when we say that living entities are there in Surya Dev's planet, Chandra Dev planet, then they are there. Living entities are there, you know. Oh, and if you don't want to believe, leave it. At least you know that by chanting you will be happy. And Prabhupada very nicely told one of the person who asked him, Prabhupada, you are chanting and giving all your life for Krishna consciousness. What if when you die you realize there's nothing and you become nothing, you know? What will you do at that time if there's no Krishna only? Then Prabhupada said, well, if after I die, if there's nothing, then also by doing this Krishna conscious activities, I am happier than any of you in the world. You know? So by doing, so what we can tell is, okay, if you don't want to believe that there is nobody, you think there's nobody, okay, leave that part. At least you understand that by following this way of life, you can really be happy if you genuinely try to live it at a mental level, physical level, verbal level, in your activities. You, how much ever, even if you try 5%, you will experience 10% of happiness. At least the spiritual happiness, which you will otherwise never experience. And for one student who was telling that, you know, I chant. So I asked, oh, really, you chant Hare Krishna mantra? She said, no, I chant Om Gan Ganapataye Namaha, Om Gan Ganapataye Namaha. I said, good, that is good. But you know, let us all chant Om Gan Ganapataye Namaha together, and let's all chant Hare Krishna mantra together. But you should do it with me. So we all chanted, and there was, you know, okay, it was prayerful, Om Gan Ganapataye Namaha. I don't even know it is scriptural or not. And then we chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We all 5-7 children were there, all my students, you know, small children, 5th standard, 6th standard, 3rd standard. So all of them together with me, we chanted just 10 or 11 times. And I asked, how did you feel, you know, is there any difference? They said, yeah, we like chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra better. It was so much better. I am telling you, I experienced, but I cannot tell them that. I wanted them to say that. So then I said, see, when we chant, why do we feel better? Let's try, you can tell the materialist, let's try saying Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, and chant with closed eyes, with all the devotion, chant 10 times or 15 times Coca-Cola. They'll get fed up of us. Then let us chant 15 times Hare Krishna mantra together. Honestly, you chant, Prabhu, with Rama, Hare, Hare, clearly, slowly, you chant with them together. That should be the condition. Together we chant 15 times. And then they will see that, yeah, there is a difference. Tell them, why should there be a difference? Because it is holy name. It's not a name. It's holy name. So holy name is holy because it will make us holy over a period of time. Just by chanting, you feel so much better. What if you're regularly chanting? What if you regularly follow every single thing what is there in Bhagavad Gita? And the last thing what I tell them is, take any verse from Bhagavad Gita which you feel like, you know, is easily applicable in daily life. Like, you know, I am the taste of water. Okay, daily when you drink water, you should remember that the taste is Krishna. You know, or, you know, I am the light of the moon and the sun. When you see the light, you should remember it, Krishna. If you can do that. Otherwise, daily, you know, yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yajjuhoti, dadasiyat, yat tapasiskote. Whatever you do it as my for my sake, he says. Can you do that? That may be too much. Okay, otherwise, at least patram, pushpam, palam, toyam. You know, whatever you eat, you know, that's yajna shishta shina santo, that one, you know. That is, whatever you eat, you know, let it be offered food. At least daily offer a fruit to Krishna, water to Krishna, and start eating. And you see, probably you will feel a difference. You know, do it for one full year. You know, daily, compulsorily, all the water you drink, you offer. All the fruits you eat, you offer. And start like that. After 1 year, you will see some significant difference in you. And the best is if you can chant. You chant daily 108 times, though you don't believe it, no problem. You simply chant. The medicine will have an effect, whether you believe or not, because it is not ordinary medicine. It is the topmost medicine. It is the purest medicine. So if you just attentively chant 108 times in 1 year's time, you will see the difference. And that is what we are telling, that is spiritual. So when we get into spiritual life, when we live spirituality, the more and more, now we talked about just one round or just water. Now start everything, you know, everything you eat and drink should be prasad only. Or daily you will chant more and more. Or you do all of them. You eat prasad also, you chant also, you hear about Krishna also. So the more and more you indulge, the more faster you will see a drastic change in life. Just do it as an experiment, even though you don't have faith. Then you will believe that if Bhagavad Gita said, and this all is working properly, then Bhagavad Gita says there is no place where jivas don't exist, then that also has to be true. If that is true, means then there are jivas even in Chandralok, Suryalok. So like this, Prabhu, by logically and by giving them the practical ideas and by indicating about Bhagavatam 12th canto, you probably may try, and then also if they don't want to understand or they try to say my horse has only 3 legs, then leave them and focus on the others, Prabhu.
Thank you.
And suppose if they happen to be your relatives, then, you know, don't preach to them, but by preach by your behavior. That's why I said that, you know, discipline. Let us have such kind of, not just discipline, but sweetness, you know. Let us be so sweet that they should get attracted to our personality just because our devotee qualities. Just because of our devotee. Let us develop those devotee qualities by prayerfully begging Krishna and by chanting nicely, by doing sadhana nicely, by developing discipline. Let us become a better person as quickly as possible so that we can deal very sweetly with our relatives who may be totally materialistic, who don't get convinced by our explanation. No matter what logical explanations you give, they don't want to accept only. I have seen such people, that's why I'm telling you. They don't want to accept only, even if you tell anything. To such people, you just be the nicest person on earth that they have ever seen. Then slowly they will start admiring you, and over a period of time they may get inspired to follow your footsteps. When they get beaten up in their life, they will feel how this fellow is surviving so happily. Maybe he is right in his talks. So that way also we can preach, Prabhu, for those who don't understand the scriptures arguments. Thank you so much for your wonderful question, Prabhu.
Oh, wonderful answer, Mataji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
All glories to my teachers of ISKCON. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Mataji, one more thing. In one of the few classes back, you mentioned about an atta, you know, the jua.
Jave Godi.
Jave.
Yes.
Yeah, Mataji, yeah. I couldn't find it anywhere. Could you
yes.
tell us where we can find that?
Yeah, this is actually, it is available. You just Google the picture, Prabhu. Write Jau. When you write J-A-U, Jau, no? They will show barley picture. Ignore that. Jau, they get confused. But you will see thin, long wheat grains also, Prabhu. Thin, long wheat grains you will find, Prabhu. So that picture, okay, you click and look at the visit site, you know, click on visit site, right, and you click on images, and then you see, you know, if anything like that in America or, you know, in your areas it is there, but it is very much available here, and I can ask if that can be couriered to you.
Okay, thank Hare you.
Hare Krishna, Madhari, that actually is it called the Indra Jao?
Maybe, I do not
if
know.
You Google, yes. If you Google Indra Jao Anil Prabhu, you will find it, but it's not available in America. I looked for it. It's not available here.
Okay.
We need to ask Madhari to send it to us. Or if somebody is going to India, we can get it from there.
No, you it's should. I think Indians, like, know whoever is selling. The Indians who are selling it, no, Prabhu. I will ask them if they can regularly courier it to you people. That will be a good business for them. They will make nice money. You will get nice food.
Okay.
You will get nice health. So it is worth
and
it. It's very good.
Huh? It's very good for the people who have diabetes.
It is very good for everyone. Not just for, and for diabetes people, you should never eat the normal wheat. That will kill, that will make you worse. Never eat wheat, but this wheat you must eat. This is very good. And we are eating this wheat only now, regularly. I have a person, he's called devotee only, very nice devotee, who gives very nice Bhagavatam classes. I will ask him if he can do something to sell it to all of you through courier, you know, because I heard through courier we can send all eatables. So if we can, he doesn't have to powder it. Powdering you will do, na? There, you have the facility to powder it. Do you have a mill? Or shall we powder and send? If you don't powder, you will see the grain, that they are thin and long. So you will feel in your heart good. Oh, wow, this is really different from wheat. You will feel good. And if you have a mill, you can powder it. Otherwise, he powders it. I trust him. That is why, you know, I ask him to powder and get, so I'll save my time. So if you are trusting, or, you know, you can ask one packet of whole wheat and you can soak it and grind it and make dosa and eat. And the rest of it, you can buy atta for the first time. And then the long grains also, you can make it if you have a mill atta. And then you will know that this atta and that atta are same. Then you can trust that devotee. He's a very nice devotee. He's a very respected devotee. And we trust him. And I tell you, I buy everything organic from him. And he has given me one particular kumkum, which we put inside the tilak, that is Sanskriti, you know, pure kumkum. And this is the first time in life I got such a pure kumkum, that it's from Gau Naturals, chemical free. So when we put this kumkum and after we wash, the red stains don't remain. Means what I notice is this particular devotee, his name is Madhur Gaurang Prabhu, His Grace Madhur Gaurang Prabhu from ISKCON Sheshadripuram Jagannath Mandir. His Grace Anukul Keshav Prabhu. So this devotee who is serving in this temple, he is not married, young man. So he may become a brahmachari or grihastha, I am not sure about that. But he is a very nice sadhak actually, you know, who is so much into Bhagavatam learning and giving classes. So he sells these things. So we blindly trust him. For even desi ghee, we get it. Desi ghee is expensive, 1,500 per kg or something. But you should not eat the other ghee from Jersey cows. So if all these things, ghee may be difficult, I don't know, but at least you can buy other things from him. He really sells this jau godi, you know, jave godi. You can definitely, I will tell him, Prabhu. My phone number, you can take it actually, you know, it is 0091. Which number I have given on WhatsApp, I also forgot, 99803088 74. I think that's my current WhatsApp number, 99803088 74. I repeat, 0091 India code and 99803088 74. You just send me your message saying I am so and so, I needed Jave Godi. I will forward your messages. Whoever sends me this message, I'll forward all your numbers to Madhur Gaurang Prabhu and let him directly deal with you all and let him arrange to courier it for you all. So that way he has given up his MNC job and he has decided to live for preaching purpose with minimum expenses by selling organic stuff and things like that, and by teaching, he's giving tuitions and all that for devotee children and others. So this way he wants to save time for his sadhana, save time for his Bhagavatam class. Such a nice devotee. You will be helping him to make his living also. So just ping me, Prabhu, and I will connect you to him. I'll give you his contact number, and then you can talk directly to him and place your orders. He has a big list of items. He can sell whatever you don't get there. I hope that helps.
Okay. Yes, Mataji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You're most welcome.
Prabhu, when you get the details, please put it on the WhatsApp group so we all can share.
Sure.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any queries, you can ask.
Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Mataji, very nice class. Also, you are explaining about the chanting. That part I really like. I'll try to follow myself from today. Means that Rama, we chant, but we don't care how we chant. Means we are chanting, or sometimes we think so, we are chanting very nicely, but we don't know the proper way to chant. Yes, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. You are so nice and sweet. That is why Krishna has reached that message to you, dear Mataji. See how nice you are saying, you don't care how you chant, Ram, Rama. Yes, you know, that is the attitude. When you get some information, if you are receiving it so beautifully, you are the nicest among the nicest devotees. Very good. You just sincerely try. I am also sincerely trying. We will all progress very fast. And I am sure this is a back to Godhead team who are in the Skype, you know, whoever is in everyday chant or in this group, you know, whoever is regularly, you know, dying to attend Bhagavatam and, you know, dying to chant in the morning and really sincere. However you chant, I am sure Krishna will consider. But Krishna is probably sending this information so that we all chant better also. So it is so nice that you are liking these things. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. You are so good. That's why you are telling all these things. Thank you, Mataji.
You are very good. That's why you are receiving. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Any other questions? Or it's over?
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my obeisances. Om Guru Shukru Mahan, Prabhupada and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the nice explanation.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I have a question. Like you said, there are 32 syllables of the mantra.
Yes.
Like me, how to just sing each and everything like a properly. So like we have to focus on like in very fast. We want to finish our round like three rounds, and we are like. 1,788 mantras, and every mantra has like 60 between words. And like you were saying, so 32 syllables. Each and every syllable also we have to.
Yes. So actually, I didn't understand the full thing because your voice is cutting, Mataji. I do not know why. Your voice, but I think you said that we have to chant clearly with 16 words, 32 syllables.
Yeah.
That's all, no, Mataji? That's all you said, no?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
It's not working properly. It's always cutting voice. So
and now it is clear. Now okay. Your voice became clear. Maybe in some angle, something like that.
Okay. So, anybody else has any question? Hare Krishna. Okay, we can end here, Mataji, because we have.
Yes, Mataji. Okay. Yes, Mataji, we will end here.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.